Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
I don't remember much from the 2022 parade and celebration the Astros had. Like, I remember people being excited, guys catching beers maybe, but that's about it. Once they got to the spot where they started talking, I don't know that anything came of it. I certainly don't think we had a moment where Red Solo Cup infused a general manager probably is making a joke that kind of falls flat, and the person in question he's making the joke about stands there and just shakes his head. So Kenneth Walker, MVP of the Super Bowl. He spent the day with Sam Darnold at Disneyland on the teacups. He's an impending free agent, a name because he's just the latest guy to do something is being connected to the Texans. Hey, you know who needs a running back? The Texans. How much would it cost to pay for Kenneth Walker? Probably more than the Texans are willing to pay, considering what the run he went on after Zach Charbonnet got hurt. Kenneth Walker likely made himself a lot of money somewhere. People are speculating that it won't be Seattle. Well, their general manager, as I said, Red Solo Cup infused, is John Snyder, and he made a comment in the middle of yesterday's celebration while Kenneth Walker was like 2 feet away from him. Here's John Snyder.
To Ken Walker being the MVP, let's go! Woo! He tried negotiating with me 5 minutes ago. It was really weird.
No one laughs. Well, anyway, they do, but they're sympathy.
Hey, MVP!
Yeah,
MVP,
get out of it, John.
MVP!
He had to divert because the crowd was like, what? And then you heard a couple laughs in the background, but he had to immediately go to something that he think could get people back, and he went MVP.
Yeah.
He was dying up there a little bit. I'm assuming he's just joking.
Didn't Steve Kerr say something? Or there's another one where, someone tried to crack a joke. I feel like it was Steve Kerr because he would.
It was about a player.
Yeah.
Right?
It was, the same situation.
Was it about Jordan Poole?
I forgot if it was Poole or Kuminga or
even back then,
yeah, James Wiseman or something. It might not be Kerr, but I feel like there's a few years back, there's another guy who brought up something weird and contractual at a parade, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah, I think you're right. I just don't remember who made the joke. Oh, I know the Warriors made the joke about Kevin Durant. Bob Myers, I think, made the joke.
That might be what it was.
Or it was maybe the play-by-play guy. I don't remember who it was. It was Bob Myers, the play-by-play guy, and Steve Kerr were up there talking. And I think it was about Kevin Durant. And I heard you tell Kevin Durant he can have whatever contract he wants. That was a play-by-play guy. Myers said that was just for the media. He can't have anything like that at all. Kerr said mid-level.
Yeah, so they were making jokes then. There might have been something else, but I do remember that as well, where Kevin, why are you playing with my money?
Huh? Yeah, hey.
In my head, I'm like, why are you playing with my
future
money?
Future GMs of championship-winning teams at the parade. Don't talk mention about the contracts. Who cares?
We all know Kenneth Walker is in for a deal. Maybe not mention it at the parade, yeah, where all you're doing is celebrating.
Or if you do, like, you have to make the joke of, like, and I guess this hurts your negotiating position, but situation like this, no one expects him to come back anyway.
Yeah.
But just be like, man, he might have played himself out of next year. Something of like, oh man, he just made himself a lot of money that we won't be able to pay. Something like
that. Yeah, stuff like that. Guys, let's push off the real world for a little bit. Let's just enjoy the
moment. MVP.
Yeah.
And how about that? 12s couldn't have done without you. Best fans of the biz.
That's all you gotta say. Look, John Schneider, most people don't actually care what you have to say. Just keep picking players.
I didn't even know what he looked like until Sunday.
I took note of him at the Super Bowl because he went with blazer and ball cap.
Yeah. I don't think for the previous, 10, 15 years he had been Seahawks GM, including making two Super Bowls and winning one. I don't think I could tell you. You could line up five different, I don't know, NFL GMs and be like, which one's John Schneider? I'd be like, I don't know.
Chris Greer.
Quasi Adonis.
Quasi Adonis.
Ryan Poles.
Yeah. Then you would know.
Rick Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. Former GMs as well. Personnel guys.
And John Schneider.
Alonzo Highsmith. I think you would get John Schneider then.
Which one is John Schneider?
But to your point, yes. If it was just 32 of them lined up.
If you put him, like Joe Shane, and I don't know. Who's the Jags GM? That guy?
Yeah, whoever. I think it's like a young dude, right?
Yeah, he's the one that's like 30.
Yeah, so I think you might you would rule him out. But to your point, they all kind of blend together.
Yeah, ball cap and blazer. All right.
Yeah.
I
don't know if he took that from Chris Greer or they came to that particular style choice by themselves. One guy.
Independently.
One guy, multiple-time champion. The other guy, I don't know where he is right now. But so John Schneider. He's had a good run of draft picks, of trades.
He had a good run.
This is a misstep.
Until the parade.
Maybe let's not talk about the guy who's likely not going to be there.
Try to negotiate with me.
And Kenneth Walker standing there going, no. He's just shaking his head. No. Yeah. So what are we doing? But I don't think Kenneth Walker will be a Texan. I've seen that. Hey, why not him? We need a running back. I don't know that they're going to invest at that level.
Yeah.
For that guy.
Breece Hall, another one that like people just there's like some sort of like thought virus that happens on really any like Texans, Astros, Rockets, Twitter, like they're all the same. Any team's Twitter. Where it's like if one position of need has one like I don't know, like it just gets like incepted in people's brain that it has to be Breece Hall. Like where everyone's just like Breece Hall.
It's a name you know. You've seen highlights.
Yeah,
it's like him having explosive runs.
Just like I don't know. I don't think they need to really do that. I'd rather have a what? How much is it? $13 million for a free agent good running back? It's going to be in that range.
Yeah, I saw someplace. Now this guy isn't a free agent. That a guy like Achan maybe looking at 3 years, 36 or something like that. For an extension with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Now, that's their own guy bringing back. So who knows how, once a guy gets on the open market, that affects his actual contract. But a guy like Kenneth Walker, who was splitting time until Zach Charbonnet got hurt, what's his value? Because was he simply on like a Larry Brown type, like the old cowboy corner who got the big payday from the Raiders? One of the prime examples of how free agency can go wrong just because a guy had a pick or two in a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Breece Hall, this is just from SpotTrack, their market value on running back free agents. Over $10 million. Kenneth Walker, $9 million. I don't know if this has been updated for, like you said, the like Super Bowl bump that you get from balling out in the Super Bowl. So it's like, you know, the owner who's, you know, overseeing negotiations is like, come on, we're not going to lose this. I watched that game. That guy's awesome. That legitimately happens.
It does happen.
And so, like, I'd rather have a $10 million guard than running back.
I would agree.
Find, you know, let me just scroll down to the bottom of just like
I do think the Texans and Kenneth Walker.
Sure, give me Mostert.
He's been around a long time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think the Texans need to find more ways to be explosive offensively. And I get why Kenneth Walker was appealing because he had multiple 20-plus yard touchdown, runs in the Super Bowl, and he would have had a long touchdown run if not for a holding call later in the game. So I get that. You want more explosiveness. I don't know. Actually, I do know. I don't want to pay $10 million per year to get that out of the running back position. Yeah. When you've already invested multiple day two picks, but you traded a third rounder to move up in last year's draft to take Woody Marks. Now you have draft capital this year, but you traded a third rounder this year to move up last year to take Woody Marks. So you've invested in the position. Of course, it didn't cost you much to trade for Joe Mixon, and that question for super positive people is still up in the air whether he'll be a Texan and play again. I certainly have my doubts about Joe Mixon's availability going forward here. So maybe not pay $10 million to the running back from another team. That always goes well, right? Unless your name is like Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry, paying big money to the other team's running back, poor decision. And those guys are all-timers, at least as far as their talent. Kenneth Walker's a fine back. We saw it. But as I said, he wasn't even the full-time guy in Seattle until Zach Charbonnet got hurt.
Yeah, he almost had the perfect like timing of it to where it's like he got to be the bell cow back starting in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Against a beat-up San Francisco team?
Yes, and so he...
And a Rams team was not great defensively?
He got to have like, whatever, 25 carries for three games. So it's like, see, proof of concept that he can be the bell cow back. It's like, well...
And you know, he went over 1,000 yards so in the regular season, so he wasn't bad, but he just wasn't a guy that the Seahawks were completely leaning on. And then are you going to pay him bell cow back money? Here to win his services, I would be a little apprehensive to do that. When you get production out of Woody Marks, but most importantly, that offensive line is a bigger hindrance to Woody Marks in your running game than actually Woody Marks is. If you could be more consistent in your run game, maybe you don't need to pay the running back, who is good but not special running back money. I don't think you need to do that if you can fix that O-line. And it's been documented quite a bit that they certainly struggle to draft O-linemen. I would say draft a running back if you choose and pay an offensive lineman. That would be my solve. And the bigger question is, who are the offensive linemen available? The good ones generally don't come available, and if they do, you're paying lots and lots of money to bring them in. So that certainly plays a part in the equation. So shout-out to John Snyder for making it awkward.
Yeah, and finding a way to not get applauded at a – at your second Super Bowl parade?
Yeah.
You are responsible.
It's pretty easy. Just he could go, hey, I'm John Snyder. I'm the GM. And that might get you applause.
Yeah. Hey, this reminds me a lot of time of about, 12 years ago. Woo!
Yeah. Like, remember when we did it that last time?
Yeah.
Woo! And then you're good. Instead, you gotta bring back the MVP chance to get people back to your speech because you had lost them pretty quickly outside of the courtesy laughs from behind you on stage.
Yeah, it almost felt like laughing at how awkward it was. Hey, it didn't feel like it was laughing at the, you know.
What I found out? A lot of Seahawks can't deal with silence.
No.
So they had to laugh to fill it.
No.
We talked a lot about running backs in this segment. We're going to transition to a fictional running back when we come back because we did have some sad news. If you're like me and you're a fan of the CW, you probably watched this man on Dawson's Creek. James Vanderbeek passes away, but he also had one of the staple sports movies of that era as well. He was in that one, Johnny Mox Moxon. We'll hear Johnny Mox Moxon become a hero when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You're a real one, you know. The context of this song in a sports movie. I was rewatching the setup for this song in Varsity Blues. It all started with Billy Bob blowing through like a snapper and a guard to set up Cleeter for the block punt. And then it led to the final drive where Johnny Mox Moxon leads the Coyotes to a win over their rival. James Vanderbeek passes away at 48 years old. Colorectal cancer was the disease he was suffering through. Six kids. He leaves the wife and those six kids, and a lot of friends who have commented on his passing. Outside of Dawson's Creek, I think this is the thing he's best known for, unless you like The Bitch in Apartment 23. Maybe you watch that show on ABC with Kristen Ritter. But
I remember the name.
Yeah,
it sticks with you.
Yeah, it does stick with you.
It's crazy that they got that off.
Well, they never could
the
actually,
B.
Yeah, the yeah. B, and then they would write it out, but they'd have like
expletive.
Yeah,
whatever.
they would
stars.
Clean it up a little bit for network television there. But Varsity Blues is what I will remember him for, along with Dawson's Creek, and he became a hero for a certain segment of our country because of what he did. If you remember that movie. First, you had Paul Walker. He was a starting quarterback. He suffered a debilitating career-ending injury. He tore all the ligaments in his knee because he already had previous knee injuries, but John Voight kept running him out there and forcing him to take cortisone shots. So I don't know if the science works there, but the knee deteriorated so much that when he took a final hit, all the ligaments snapped, and he was done. He was going to go play quarterback at Florida State, Lance Harbor. And as Sean said, as we were getting ready for this show, during the last show, Lance Harbor / Paul Walker, in the 90s, that's a Florida State quarterback. Danny Cannell, Thad Busby, he was all those guys. Of course, not Charlie Ward, but he was a lot of those guys.
The only reason Charlie Ward got a shot is because Lance Harbor went down.
Lance Harbor got, I don't know if the timelines line up, but we'll go with it. So Lance Harbor gets hurt, then Johnny Mox Moxon, who wants to go to Harvard, of course, the famous line, I don't want your life, all of that. But he leads a comeback in the biggest game of the year. But he also did something a little earlier, and he became a hero. Also, John Voight, racist coach. Not only is he putting his team in jeopardy with injuries, he's also doing a thing where he's not allowing his black running back to score touchdowns because apparently film didn't exist back then, and all college recruiters did was look at the stats. So, hey, I'm not going to let you score touchdowns because it's going to affect your ability to get into a good school because I'm the Texas high school football coach who's racist. That was John Voight's character. He was so bad, if you remember, that the players decided, we're not going to go out for the second half of the biggest game of the year unless you stay in, all led by our hero, Johnny Mox Moxon. Another moment of him being a hero is this.
Here we go. Slot left, 35 dive.
Kill me.
We'll change that to 25 dive.
What? No way, man.
Was somebody have a problem with Wendell putting one in the end zone?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. Slot left, 25 dive on one. Slot left, 25 dive on one.
Ready, break!
Let's take it in!
Go!
Of course, Wendell gets into the end zone. I'm sure that touchdown means he gets to go to Texas as opposed to Rice. I don't know, because the Texas recruiters only look at stats. But either way, Johnny Mox Moxon becomes a hero. For one of two Americas, he made sure Wendell got his touchdown. Of course,
do you think John Voight America is like what a terrible, yeah, what a terrible thing Mox did?
He changed the play call and went against his coach.
That is true.
Certain
is
parts true. Of America love when you just listen to the coach.
What if the guy didn't get in? What if?
Yeah. What if Wendell fumbled? What if he fumbled? You should have went with the fullback. So James Vanderbeek passed away, but. Varsity Blues. I don't know if you want to call it a curse because Scott Kahn is still alive, but Paul Walker passed away young, car accident. Of course, James Vanderbeek and Billy Bob. I think his name is Paul Lester. He died at 46. He was much like a lot of those actors in these type of movies, much older than his age in the movie, because James Vanderbeek dies at 48. I think Paul Lester died like a decade ago. And maybe it's Ron Lester. I'm combining Paul Walker. Ron Lester died in 2016, and he was 45. So when that movie came out, he was nearly 30 years old. just what they did back
then. He was 7 years older than James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, it's just
and they're on the same high school football
team. Yeah, it's just what they did back then. James Vanderbeek, COVID years, star of a – yeah, sure. Well, we do have like 9 year guys in college football today. So So Billy Bob would have fit right in.
Diego Pavia was third string on that team?
Yeah, exactly. So it's been unfortunate. All those guys have died young. Scott Kahn's still making CBS TV shows, so thankfully he's okay. But that happened. James Vanderbeek passes away at 48 years old. The one thing as I was rewatching the clips of Varsity Blues that struck me at the time, and I commend them for it, because a lot of those movies, the football players have like baggy sleeves. That's not what a football player would look like. Even back then in the 90s, no real football player walked out there with baggy sleeves.
Or when they have the single bar. Yeah. It's like,
That always catches my eye in these movies or TV shows.
Yeah.
Who's the technical director that makes them actually look like a football player?
It's actually crazy that they don't have like sports movie consultant like as a job. I'm not even saying like for you and I, like that, like someone hasn't conned their way into having this job that's like up there where it's like you don't actually need like, I don't know, Tom Brady to sit there and be like, that's not what would happen.
Yeah, you don't have to design plays.
Yeah, you just need like a guy to be like, that's not how they would wear their sleeves.
Yeah, that position's not wearing that type of face mask.
Yeah,
stuff
or,
like that.
I mean, sometimes even like that guy shouldn't be in a three-point stance.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy when they get wrong.
Simple things that anybody who's, of course, watching.
Ryan Reynolds should not, Ryan Gosling should not be playing cornerback.
Well, I wouldn't say that back, particularly back then.
Oh, yeah.
At the time that Remember the Titans took place. Him at that age or that time period could have a baggy sleeve jersey. That was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. But in the 90s, no skill position guy worth a damn, particularly the late 90s when that movie was set, was wearing that type of jersey. And Varsity Blues, at least for the Coyotes, they did that. The anonymous other team, they had the loose-fitting jerseys.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, who cares about them?
But we need to buy, 50 of these jerseys. We're not buying 50 of the good ones.
Yeah, very, very true. So, unfortunately, Paul Walker passes away, James Vanderbeek as well, and then Ron Lester as well, who played Billy Bob in that movie. I'm trying to think of all the sports movies that I actually like, because I don't like a lot of them. Even if you exclude the Ali Larter portion of that movie, you know, you had the lovable girlfriend in Amy Smart, and then you had the sex pot in Ali Larter. Like I said, typical 90s movie. That movie stacks up for me, even still. And then you have the Foo Fighters and My Hero to end it. So, shout out to that movie and, of course, James Vanderbeek.
Available on Peacock and Paramount Plus.
I have Paramount Plus.
Pluto TV as well.
So a lot of places you can see it if you so choose. I don't know.
I don't think I've seen a movie that's this available.
Yeah,
it's
I don't.
On like three different.
It's
ones.
Usually something where multiple like services have it, but you have to pay separately for it. But this one, I can just go home and watch Varsity Blues.
Yeah, you have to choose which service you want to watch.
Well, not much of a choice. I don't have Peacock.
It's also on YouTube TV.
Well, I do have YouTube TV, so I can see it there, too. I wonder how many people will watch it, or will they just go through a Dawson's Creek rewatch? All right, we got a couple more segments to go. When we get back, we'll do a giveaway again. If you missed out on the fishing show tickets, we'll do another giveaway. We'll give away another pair. The fishing show is at George R. Brown Convention Center from February 18th to the 22nd. If you want to go and experience all the fishing from the fishing show, call in when we come back.
To ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Kenneth Walker, we talked about him earlier. He had a response to John Snyder's comments.
F you, pay me.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he didn't write that on a shoe or anywhere like a certain Texan did at one point. Well, the pay me part, at least. Must have been the liquor he drinking because I never said that ish. He followed it by two laughing emojis. He did that on his Instagram. Art says the only John Schneider I had ever heard of is a guy who played in Dukes of Hazzard. If you type in the names, they're spelled the same way. It is the actor who comes up first. So you win two Super Bowls. You still don't overtake the guy who was in Dukes of Hazzard and also the father of Clark Kent in Smallville. John Schneider, the actor, still above John Schneider, the GM.
I mean, sounds like he has. They're tied. Two Super Bowls each.
If Pete Carroll had simply said, hey, run the football, and it was at three Super Bowls, maybe John Schneider would be above the actor John Schneider.
Yeah, because I don't really see anything else. I guess Reba McEntire's Christmas special, maybe?
Possibly. All right. I said we would do the giveaway here. Caller 2, 713-780-3776 wants a pair of tickets to the fishing show. You can go to thefishingshow.com to find out more information. The fishing show is here at George R. Brown Convention Center. HoustonFishingShow.com is the website. HoustonFishingShow.com. It'll be between February 18th and the 22nd at George R. Brown Convention Center. If you want to go, call in right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 2 wins that pair of tickets. You can find out everything you need to know about fishing, lures, rods, reels, boats, and continuous clinics by expert fishermen, which will cover salt and fresh water. They've got kids clinics on Saturday and Sunday. Just go to HoustonFishingShow.com for more information. We'll be giving away tickets throughout the week, which is one more day. So we'll give away tickets on the John and Lance show tomorrow, my show. Jeremy and Joe have tickets giveaway today and tomorrow as well. So you have your opportunity to win if you haven't won some already. Okay, a couple things to get to before we wrap it up for today. I did want to get to a couple of tweets because we were just talking about Varsity Blues as well. Childish Altuve, Art says, shout out to Bacon. If you don't know who Bacon is, that was Billy Bob's pig in the show. He named the pig Bacon, which speaks to maybe the writing and also Billy Bob in the show. Much like naming a dog.
Simple Pleasures.
Yeah.
No, it's like, it's even worse because you're naming him like
a food.
The food. Like, naming a pig is more respectful.
Name a cow steak. Is what
you're saying. Yeah, burger.
Yeah. He loved bacon. His pet and the actual food itself. Also, Riley says he remembers his parents buying him Varsity Blues on pay-per-view. I don't know that his parents knew about the whipped cream bikini. He does mention that in the tweet. Yeah, RIP, man. Johnny Mox Moxon, known as James Vanderbeek. Okay, so we haven't talked much college football since the title game, but the Pac-12 is back. They're a full conference again. Last year, it was Washington State and Oregon State masquerading as a conference. They didn't have an official conference title game, but they played each other, and whoever won that game was the pseudo-champion. But now they'll have an actual conference, and they're doing something a little unique. You have to try to find a way to claw yourself into the national conversation, particularly when you are no longer the Power Four conference that you were and you're at some disadvantages. Well, the Pac-12 is doing this. They're going to have flex scheduling. And not like the NFL where they move a game from one time slot to another. They're doing it where opponents can be flexed depending on how beneficial it is to the conference. It's going to be a non-conference game because I think they're just going to play 7 conference games. So there will be an opportunity for rematches, but how it'll be set up is they've projected certain matchups already. So those are set. The home teams are set in those games. But what they can do is switch the opponent depending on how beneficial it'll be to that opponent in their chase for a CFP spot.
So this won't – so they'll already have played – because there's only 8 teams. And so they'll play their 7.
Yes.
And then this will be – like a bonus.
An extra game. Like the ACC will have games between 2 ACC opponents that aren't ACC games like they did this year. This will be like that, except the conference will control the matchup if it can help one of the teams make the CFP. And then they'll have their conference title game after that.
You could also game it to get some bowl eligible teams in there too.
Yeah, if they so choose.
If they're at 5-6 and then you have 2 like 3-9 teams, like, well, match those two teams up. Now we just got two more bowl teams out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know the Pac-12's bowl ties, but that might be something they try to do. But it's being positioned as, hey, let's say Boise, because they were in CFP.
Yeah.
Boise needs another win to help their cause, and Fresno State's pretty good. Maybe Fresno State has 8 wins, and Boise's current matchup is against a team who's not very good. We can flip Boise to go play Fresno State in a game that matters to voters, and maybe and if Fresno State's competing as well for a berth, you put those two teams together, you have them play each other, and now a team has a good win as they head into to their conference title game. So they're going to try to find ways to manipulate it so their conference has its best shot.
And then I wonder if it's like a year where it's like Boise's like far and away the group.
Do they
of
give
five
them a soft team to play so they can't lose? One.
Yeah,
maybe.
Like, I mean, because you could just you almost don't want to have, because they're already going to play, because everyone already plays everybody,
yes.
And this is just game two.
It'll
so
be
it's
a
like,
rematch for. It'll be a rematch the final week, unless either way.
Yeah, so you almost don't want it to be like, oh no, there'll still be a championship game.
Yeah, there'll be a championship game after this flex weekend.
Oh, so yeah, you definitely don't want to do your two best.
It all depends on what's going on around the country. Like if the American has a team that you're competing against for that final spot, how do you? I guess the best way to say rig it, they would probably say manipulate it. Either way, how would you move things around so it best helps your contender for a CFP spot?
Yeah.
Do you give them an easy one, or do you think they need a win against a good opponent, because the American not only has they would have their title game, which could be against another good opponent.
Yeah.
So that's what the Pac-12 is doing, and it's unique. We've never seen this before. We'll see if it works out. First, you need a team good enough for it to matter, but either way, something different in college football.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how they manipulate it or manage it. You know, like we said, like there's like a couple different ways you can go about this. I'm interested if they want to do like the get a surefire win to your best team, or you know, try to aim a little higher.
I guess it all depends on
you risk them losing
where you are. Like if the Pac-12 team has a great out of conference win or two, so they're kind of solidified, would they manipulate it so instead of playing a good team to close it out, they play a bad team?
Yeah,
maybe, if you already are solid out of conference. But if you need something to help your resume, I think you're going to have to put them against maybe the best or the second best team in the conference, and hopefully it isn't something where you eat your own and screw it up.
If Boise beats Oregon week one,
yeah, if they do that, then maybe Boise is 12-0 and they go, hey, just pick the worst team in the conference.
Pasco, collect $200.
Yeah, we don't want to screw this up. Let them play one of our worst teams, and then with the title game at home, they may have a runway to making the playoff again. So there it is. I don't know that other conferences will adopt that model. We don't know what the ACC is going to do to fix their tiebreaker. We assume it'll just be highest-ranked CFP team if the conference records are tied and they haven't played each other. But the Pac-12 has an answer as they try to get back to national prominence. The teams themselves probably won't allow for it. They're strongly going to be one of those group of six, I guess. Is it seven now? I'm not even sure what the name would be. Let's just say non-Power Four conference. But if you look at it, the American right now is considered the best.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-12 can certainly slide in as second best. They have some teams like San Diego State, and, of course, Washington State and Oregon State, Boise State, Colorado State, who have cared about football in the past. It's not something they want to ignore.
Yeah.
So you have some – and Fresno State's been a good program as well. So, mm-hmm.
Texas State, like
– yeah, they care too.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're, you know.
So they will try to fight the American for best non-Power 4 conference, and we'll see what that means for them in their CFP hopes.
Yeah. You can almost only do – like, you can't really play 9 conference games.
Not if you want to do this.
And do this.
And have a conference
Or you
title
have
game.
To do it differently. At least.
Yeah, you can't wait to –
You'd have to have 8 that are solidified, and then
one.
The ninth count as a conference game, but be
– yeah, depending
flat.
On what you need.
Yeah.
This one –
that'd be – God, imagine the SEC doing this.
they would always
Alabama
be,
plays Vanderbilt. Or
yeah,
no, that,
yeah, the old
actually,
Vanderbilt.
No, that doesn't count.
Alabama plays Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. Like, yeah, they just are trying to load it for
if,
all the
if Greg Sankey had this in his, at his disposal, what would he do to make sure the conference that tells you it means more and it's about competition, we have the best teams, what would they do to maneuver their CFP contenders into not having to deal with a potential upset?
Texas playing South Carolina twice?
I think they would even go so far as to look at, is this quarterback going to play this week? They would do that stuff.
Yeah.
They would do
yeah.
that. Like, hey, is this quarterback hurt? Hey, don't you think you should hold him out?
Who's opted out?
Yeah.
Did you just fire your coach?
I think it would be a real deep dive and as they make their matchups.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're looking at the injury report being like, all right, this is who Georgia plays.
Georgia's playing. Oh, we do have them against Auburn, but Auburn's got a healthy offensive line this
week.
Yeah, yeah. Who's banged up on the O-line this week?
This is almost unrealistic, but Georgia's 8-2, so like they can't afford another loss. So like, yeah, match them up against the walking wounded over here.
Yeah, sure. I know the first game was 45-6, but
let's see it again.
Let's see it again. Hey, it's hard to beat a team twice.
It is, and every week in the SEC is just so hard, man. It's just so.
Meanwhile, tough. We'll make sure.
But if
our top teams get to play the worst teams,
if we could get a lighter, it's still so tough.
Yeah,
but so if it's a little bit on the lighter side of tough,
sometimes power shouldn't fall into the wrong hands. And if Greg Sankey had this power, those are the wrong hands. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment here. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
You know, we see brothers celebrating one brother's success. Like, for example, we just heard Joe talk about hockey. If you're listening to the promo as we went to break, like there's a Keith Tkachuk, and I think it's a Keith Tkachuk's the dad. You got Matthew Tkachuk who plays for the Panthers, and then there's another Tkachuk who plays for the Calgary Flames, I believe. So the Panthers have been in the finals last 3 years, won it the last two. And the brother will go and celebrate his brother's success. You know, you put on a Tkachuk t-shirt or whatever, go Matthew, whatever. Understandable. Yeah, you're competitors in one way, but honestly, one's in the West, one's in the East. You go celebrate your brother's success.
Don't touch the cup, other Tkachuk brother.
Until you win it yourself.
Yep.
Yes, that seems fine. Everyone gets it. What about if you are a cornerback for one team, and you fly to Seattle to celebrate the success of your former defensive coordinator like Marlon Humphrey did? Mike McDonald, history in Baltimore. Is it out of bounds? Is it wrong? Is it weird to go sell? Not, it's not wrong or out of bounds, I guess. But is it weird to celebrate the success of your DC when you're competing for the same thing?
The cross-country flight is where you get me.
It's a lot. Going to Seattle.
If he was like covering the Super Bowl in San Francisco, like Kyle Shanahan was, like Fred Warner was, now they wouldn't actually do this.
As 49ers.
Yes, as 49ers. And then they wanted to, like, you know, it go into the locker room and shake Sam Darnold's hand or something. It'd be like, congratulations. Like, that to me, yeah, that's fine. Like, it's the going so far out of your way to go to another team's Super Bowl parade for a guy who used to be like your boss
for what, a year or two maybe?
Yeah, I was about to look up how long was Mike McDonald even in Baltimore?
Because he spent time with the other Harbaugh at Michigan.
Yeah, and he's like 35, so it's not he 42. Well,
he's been with the Ravens for a bit. He was a defensive assistant, defensive back coach, linebacker coach. So he's had a long tenure there, and then he went to Michigan, came back to be the DC for 2 years. I don't know, man. Like, I'm trying to put myself in a spot. If we're here in town, and I'm trying to think what would be the core, the same thing here, I don't know if any Texans have any connections with Marlon Humphrey. Mike McDonald. But if that played out here, if you find out that, I'm trying to think of if Aziz Alshayer wound up flying to, See, I don't even have an example.
But fly to San Francisco to celebrate, like in the alternate universe where the Niners win the Super Bowl. Like,
and he flies out to celebrate Robert Saleh before he took the Titan job, obviously. Yeah. But he's the DC for the 49ers. And he flies out to celebrate with him, or just flies out because Kyle Shanahan was his head coach and he wants to be a part of that. Are we thinking, huh? I think we would. Raven fans aren't happy, of course, about it.
Yeah, they're not happy.
About much.
Like Marlon Humphrey is kind of like, he's basically doing the CJ Stroud podcasting tour after his rookie year, but he just does that like
all the time.
All the time as the Ravens season is falling apart.
Yeah. He is very available.
Yeah, he pops up on Twitter and he's like, so is a hot dog a sandwich? It's like,
that would bother
people. 3-5.
Stop asking that dumb question.
It's always like some sort of like engagement baity kind of like just asking questions.
Yeah, so he was a Raven in he started his career with the Ravens in 17, and McDonald's been there through that run. So he's known him for a long time. But you know what?
That helps. I'll say it helps.
Even still.
It's not great. No, I'm still, but it does make it a little bit better.
Yeah, that he's had a long-standing relationship with them. So what is – like, he's not even – he's of course not on the dais. He's not up on stage. He's, like, part of the crowd. And I guess maybe he'll shake hands with McDonald when he sees him. It's an odd choice just to fly to Seattle to celebrate that guy. Maybe they're really close. Maybe they're – like, McDonald's young. He's closer to Humphrey's age than normal defensive coordinators are, you would think, to his DB. I think Humphrey's, like, 29. McDonald's, what, 38 or something like that?
Yeah.
So they're not – it's not a giant age gap. I just found – maybe they're really good friends. But when you're an acting pro, maybe you don't broadcast it. Maybe you don't put it on social media that you're flying to Seattle to celebrate a title for another guy when the city that you play for is desperate for another one and they've been close and haven't been able to get over the hump. But either way, that happened. I don't know. It's not nuts for me. I just think it would be a little twinge. Like, hey, cut that out. What are you up to? At least don't show me that you're there when all I want is for you to win one because you're on my favorite team.
I'm on his Twitter and he does have like three different posts about.
Man, and he made it known. He was
no rain in Washington. ... A vibe, and then three pictures and a video of it looks like his hotel. Maybe I don't know what actually this is. It's a fountain of some sort.
Move in silence, Marlon Humphrey. For this one, at least.
I like Seattle, but I don't want any AFC team to win. There you go. A man who stands for something.
Because if you don't stand for anything...
You fall for anything.
Yeah, you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Yeah, why I came to Seattle without a rain jacket is unknown, but I shall shop tomorrow. That was 4 days ago. He tweeted that.
So he's been there for... He got there the day after the Super Bowl? 4 days ago?
Yeah, looks like it. Maybe it just worked out. Maybe he's going to Seattle either way. Although on February 5th, he tweeted about going into class.
I don't think I think he went there to maybe spend the week with this guy. If he was there on Monday, I think he was there to spend the week with this guy, his boy. Either way, Baltimore Raven fans aren't thrilled. I imagine any Texan who did that because they had a connection with the Seahawks
pilloried.
Would catch the same type of, hey, cut it out. Particularly for Marlon Humphrey, who didn't play all that well this year.
That's the worst part.
And he's been hurt.
like this is the thing where it's like unfair what we do. That is actually the worst part, is that he's played poorly. And if Miles Garrett wanted to fly to...
Like, you know what, Miles? Go with God.
Go for it.
Go with God, Miles.
If Will Anderson wanted to... Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Yeah, there's not a lot you would say to Will Anderson. You know what? You're great. You know, it's not your fault we didn't win. Go ahead.
But if CJ Stroud, you know.
Well, the quarterback can't. The quarterback can't.
The quarterback
do that.
Can't. You but also, do that. If you play that poorly, probably also can't.
Yeah, you're the reason we weren't playing them.
Ed Ingram can't fly.
Well, Ed Ingram.
Or Lakin Tomlinson. Tomlinson.
Yeah, he is a. Ed Ingram certainly can't. Although, it would bother people less because if you just go by the numbers, he played well.
Yeah, he did.
But CJ Stroud flies out there. Like, you're the reason we didn't play them in the first place. He can't be there.
I don't think. Yeah, he can't fly anywhere. He can't post about flying anywhere.
Well, I'll give Marlon Humphrey credit. He did play 15 games this year, so at least he was available. He wasn't great, but at least he was available.
But that's the best ability, isn't it?
Not when you play corner, and it's pretty clear when you're not playing well. Well, we are done for the day. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean? There goes my head. Why? RIP to James Van Der Beek. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.